Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. As you're turning there, little Philip was spending the weekend with his grandmother after a particularly trying week in preschool. His grandmother decided to take him to the park on Saturday morning. It was a beautiful, beautiful spring morning. The flowers were blooming and the birds were singing. His grandmother commented, "Doesn't it look like an artist painted this scenery? Did you know God that painted all this just for you?" "Yes," replied Philip. "God did it, and he did it left-handed." Confused, his grandmother asked, "What makes you say that God painted this beautiful picture with his left hand?" "Well," Philip said, "we learned at Sunday school last week that Jesus sits on God's right hand, so he has to use his left one." That was shared by Debbie, if you don't like that one. Amen. So this morning, we are going to talk about getting focused. Getting focused. Now, there are no doubt many times in our walk with God that we need to just stop, step away from the busyness of our lives, and get a good, godly focus, godly clarity, and a godly perspective on our family, our work, our relationships, and just our life in general. Sometimes we just have to get away. And as a Christian, we need to understand that that starts at Calvary. It's there that we thank Christ for the cross, no doubt about it. But we also need to focus on the God-man himself, the man of the cross. Not just the cross, but the man of the cross. The very one who paid our penalty for sins, our sins in the past, our sins in the present, and our sins in the future. Jesus' blood covers all of our sins, past, present, and future. This isn't just good news. Amen? The gospel, the word gospel literally means good news. But let me tell you something. This isn't just good news. That is the greatest news ever. Amen? Forgiveness. And this morning I want to look in the book of Colossians, and I want to see how the people of Colossae needed to hear this great news. The great news of Jesus Christ. To kind of set the stage for this letter that Paul wrote to them, they were right in the middle of an economic collapse. And this left them really a target for Gnosticism. Agnosticism is prevalent today as well. And agnosticism is a mix of Eastern mysticism. It has a little bit of paganism mixed in and a lot of Jewish legalism thrown in the mix as well. In essence, it's a watered-down religion, plain and simple. It's just watered-down religion. And much the same that we see today creeping into our churches with New Age thinking, enlightenment, all these words that they add to, basically all it's doing is watering down the Bible, plain and simple. Now, God saw what was happening, and he led the Apostle Paul to write this letter to this church to tell them, get focused. Amen? Get focused. Let's pick up in Colossians chapter 1, skip down to verse 9. "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. That's a great word there, preeminence. And that's the first thing that I want us to think of when we need to get focused, when we need to step back from the busyness of our lives. We need to think about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Now, that word preeminence simply means before all things. In even more simpler terms, preeminence means having first place in everything. The Bible just has a wonderful way of refocusing our lives. Amen? If you've ever been going through some tough times, just the busyness of life is wearing you down, I can't encourage you more than to just sit in a quiet place and just open up God's Word. It has just a miracle way of refocusing our lives into what's important. No doubt we're living in a time where this world is off kilter. Our priorities have been mixed up and our boundaries have become blurred. But God's Word has a way of bringing us back into a proper, healthy perspective. Amen? Now, I want to touch on those two things real quick, priorities and boundaries. To understand priorities a little bit better in God's perspective, look at Matthew 6:33. Thinking about priorities, listen to what God says. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. God is telling us that this is where our priorities need to lie. If we want God to add unto our lives, add His blessings, His peace, His comfort, on and on and on. If we want God to add unto our lives, then we need to do what? Seek Him first. That should be the priority in every one of our lives. Amen? Then we talk about boundaries. We think about boundaries. The best piece of scripture, I believe, is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we need to understand that these are the boundaries that a loving God has set for you and for me to keep us safe. He has set these boundaries in place for us to stay away from harm. Amen? That's what we need to understand. What He's telling us here is the love of this world will put us into harm's way. Now, when He's talking about this world, He's not talking about people. He's talking about this world system. And who is the prince and power of this world? Satan himself. He's talking about Satan's system that is active and prevalent in this world. When we start to love those things in this world, it puts us into harm's way. Those things that draw us in, and the fact that we want our own way and we become selfish. Wanting others' approval just to feel important, that need to feel important. Those are desires of this world. And those desires choke out the love of the Father in our hearts. Amen? When we start replacing the love of God that's in our heart with those wants and desires of the world, it chokes out the love of God. They have nothing to do with God, those desires of the flesh. And they actually isolate us from Him. Amen? They isolate us from God. God warns us here. He says, listen, stay focused and don't stray away from my priorities and my boundaries that I've given you in my word. Stay focused on those things and you're going to be happy and healthy and full of joy and live a life of peace and comfort. Amen? That's not so bad, is it? Not so bad at all. Now, when we think about priorities and boundaries, it's absolutely important for us to stay focused in those areas. But this warning is even more important in our worship. Our worship. Today we hear the word tolerance a lot. But unfortunately we hear it in a very distorted way, in a way that it's definitely taken out of context. Society tells us, this world tells us, that it doesn't matter what you believe in, as long as you are sincere. Amen? That's what they tell you. It doesn't matter who you believe in, it doesn't matter what you believe in, just as long as you are sincere, then you're okay. They tell Christians, don't be so narrow-minded. That makes you a bigot and intolerant to be narrow-minded. But listen, God warns us about this type of dangerous thinking all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Listen to what God warned Moses and the children of Israel. He said, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him. Now that fear, he's talking about a healthy, reverent fear, understanding that we serve a holy, righteous God as sinful people. Amen? We should have a holy, reverent fear of God. And we should serve him and shall take oaths in his name. We shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. God is telling us that we need to be narrow-minded about him. Amen? We are to serve him and him alone because he is the only true God. Be narrow-minded. To make it even more clear, listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:5. He said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. That's pretty narrow-minded, isn't it? You can call it narrow-minded or just the truth, whichever way you want to look at it. But to make things simple, Jesus declared, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except what? By me, through me. Amen? That is plain and simple. This world will push back and say, well, that's just too narrow-minded to believe the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's just too narrow-minded. Listen, when it comes to something as important as my eternal destiny, where I will spend eternity, I want to be pretty narrow-minded. Amen? I want to know exactly what the truth is. I don't want to think in broad and vague terms. I want to know the exact, specific truth when it comes to something that important. Amen? Think about it this way. When we go to the doctor, I don't know about you, but when I go to the doctor, I want my doctor to be narrow-minded. I don't want him to give me 10 or 20 possibilities about what could be wrong with me. Amen? I want my doctor to be narrow-minded and tell me exactly what's wrong and treat what's wrong. Amen? Doesn't sound illogical, does it? Think about your work all week, right? At the end of the week, you get a paycheck. You go to the bank to deposit your paycheck into your account. I don't know about you, but I don't want my bank to think on very broad terms and be open-minded as to which account they're going to deposit my money in, amen? I want them to be narrow-minded and focused and make sure they put my money into my account. Not too illogical, is it? Amen? So when it comes to things that are important, we want to be narrow-minded. Something even simpler. Think of it in terms of physical fitness, right? We all love physical fitness, right? Yeah. Every accredited doctor, if you ask every single accredited doctor that's worth their salt, they will tell you that there is only one way, one true way to become physically fit, and that is through diet and exercise, right? It's pretty simple. Every accredited doctor will agree. Well, you may say, well, that's just a narrow-minded opinion. I prefer to believe in donuts and video games to get physically fit, right? That's my belief. That's what I want to believe in. If I just survive on donuts and video games, am I going to be physically fit? No, but I believe it. So why can't I be physically fit, right? Or you may say, well, I've been enlightened. I've been studying. I'm smarter now, and all I have to do is think thin. Right? I'm enlightened. All I have to do is think thin. There's an official term for this type of thinking. You know what it's called? It's called fat and out of shape. That's what my doctor told me. That's an official doctor term. Amen? But here's the bottom line. Amen? Even if you choose to believe that donuts and video games will make you physically fit, the truth is that there's only one way to become physically fit, and that's through diet and exercise. Amen? You can even be completely sincere about your enlightened path of thinking thin, right? You can buy 100% into it, be 100% sincere in that enlightened thinking of thinking thin, but the truth is still the truth. There is only one way to be physically fit, and that's what? Diet and exercise. Amen? So why is it, when it comes to our faith, believing what God tells us in His Word, that there is only one way to get to heaven, and that is through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, that makes us intolerant and bigots? Amen? That's because that is the labeling of this world, and that is the labeling of Satan's way of thinking. Amen? Plain and simple. Now for the Colossians. They began to stray from God's boundaries that He has set in His Word. They began to stray from God's priorities of seeking Him first. Part of the reason were the hard times that they came up against, those hard economic times. People were out of work and they were hungry and not many jobs were present. And they allowed their faith in God to falter as they strayed from His boundaries and His priorities. They became desperate. And when they became desperate, they became easy prey. They were deceived by New Age thinking, by mysticism, by enlightenment, by agnosticism. It was mixed with just enough Bible to make it sound believable. Sound familiar? Because that's what's happening today. Amen? There's a lot of TV evangelists out there. There's a lot of mega churches out there that are watering down the gospel and mixing in just enough Bible to deceive people. I don't like to call out names from the pulpit, but take, for instance, Joel Osteen. He has one of the biggest churches in this nation. His church is so big that they had to buy a basketball stadium, and that's what they converted into their church. Joel Osteen was on national television and was asked that simple question. Can you tell me that Jesus is the only way to heaven? And Joel Osteen said on national television, no, I cannot. And he's supposed to be a pastor, speaking God's word. That's where we are today, and that's what was happening to the people in Colossae. This false teaching made them take their eyes off of Jesus Christ. It caused their lives to then get out of focus. And hearing of that condition in the church in Colossae, the Apostle Paul was led by God's Holy Spirit to write this letter of Colossians to the people of Colossae, to the church. He wanted to let them know, first and foremost, look back in Colossians to our original piece of scripture. He wanted them to know, first and foremost, verse 9. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. He wanted them to know that they were being prayed for. He said in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He wanted to encourage them. Let them know that they weren't going through it alone, that Christians everywhere were praying for them. And then his second reason, he concludes that prayer with verses 13 and 14. Look what he says. He reminds them of the most important thing, their salvation. He said, He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The Apostle Paul, under God's, the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, he put salvation in four words. In these two verses, he said, delivered, conveyed, he said, redeemed, and forgiven. Amen? Salvation in four simple words. What did Paul do when he saw lives that had gotten out of focus? He took them back to the cross. Back to the cross of Christ, and not just the work on the cross, but the man of that cross, Jesus Christ. He reminded them that they were loved and they were being prayed for, and he reminded them of their salvation. Delivered, conveyed, redeemed, and forgiven. And this is where we need to return to get focused as well. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what hardships we're going to, we just simply need to remember whose we are. Amen? And we are Christ's. And we need to thank Him for that. We need to be careful not to let the cares of this world take our eyes off of Christ. And we also have to be careful not to get too comfortable in this world either. That's where our boundaries get blurred, when we just start getting too comfortable loving the things of this world. We get comfortable, we become complacent. We become complacent. We don't witness. We don't witness. Souls go to hell. So I want to challenge you this week to stay focused. Remember the Christ of the cross. And give Him preeminence in every part of your life.